What movie won and was nominated for the most Academy Awards?
What movie almost didn't make it because of a boo-boo?
This is Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy. And this week, we and our staff scoured the internet to find out this totally useless information just for you.
Plus, we will continue our interview segment with more filmmakers from the Fort Myers Film Festival. In fact, I'm here right now in Fort
Myers.
Nick
is in front of me in Florida. The authorities have not yet taken him away.
Yeah, so we better end the show real
Although
quick.
I've called three times,
complaints. Well, maybe they should have sent an email, because we will answer your mailbag question. And in the news, he had a leg up, and then he lost it.
Totally useless information. It's everything you never needed to know.
Thank you very much for joining us. Yes, I am down here at Fort Myers. We had an excellent time at the Fort Myers Film Festival.
Awesome.
And
great interviews.
You will check out our website, nickandroy.com. We'll have some photos up from our adventures here as part of the film festival. We want to thank Eric.
And the three-part, we broke it up into three parts.
We did, and yeah. Because we had so much good stuff, we just couldn't do it all in one show. But we had a great, great time with Eric Raddatz. And his staff that made sure that we were absolutely looked after. What a great job. So thank you very much for that.
I think they just looked after us because they thought we were weird, but go ahead.
In the meantime, let's do some sports.
Sports. Play ball.
In 1994, Bulgaria's soccer team had a first in pro soccer.
What was that?
Right? I love this one. This is awesome, guys. Again, pencil, write this down. Every player on the team, their last name ended in two letters, O-V.
No, really?
Yes. So, you know, Blaklakalov. You know? So, but every single player, their last name ended in O-V. That's so cool.
And what country were they from?
1994 Bulgarian World Soccer League, wow. World Soccer Team. Yeah.
Yeah.
1994. That's so crazy. That's awesome. I love that.
I love L-O-V that very much.
Ah.
Yeah. Now, we've heard of...
You notice Nick went to school in the Bronx. He was like, I love L-O-V.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just three letters for Nick. Love. I love you.
It's funny. That's how my uncle says love. So the regatta, have you ever attended a regatta, a boat race?
Oh, my God, yes. I'm constantly doing that after the wonderful polo tournaments that I attend.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, Nick, I always go to the regatta.
Yes, of course. And, of course, his assistants were Marianne and Biff. The Italian word is... So regatta comes from the Italian word meaning contention for mastery or to compete. Mm. Regatta came to specifically mean boat race and the many social events related to it in the late 1700s. The regatta originated in Venice as a water festival. Well, I hope so, because there's lots of water around Venice,
yeah.
Which by the early 14th century included boat races. Rowing at Penn is related more specifically to the development of the sport in England, America, and Philadelphia. The regatta boat race.
All sports have trophies. So, guys, again, get ready.
Of course,
Vince Lombardi.
Of course, I have a trophy wife.
Yeah, Nick has a trophy wife.
No, my wife is actually a trophy.
Just the fact that Nick has a wife is amazing.
It's an accomplishment.
The Vince Lombardi trophy is football, right? Stanley Cup, hockey, World Series trophies, baseball. So every sport has their main big deal trophy.
That's right.
What's the longest running sports trophy given out for a sport?
Oh. My guess, I don't know if it's the National Hockey League.
And I love this because it's such an awesome segue.
Okay.
Oh, it's the America Cup for sailing.
The boat race.
So you said the regatta.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And we don't rehearse this, guys. So this is for real.
So that was so a funny. Natural segue.
The America Cup is the longest running trophy given out for a sporting event.
Yeah. Wow, that is amazing. You know, you did mention, that's right, we do not rehearse the show. And those of you who noticed it, congratulations, we don't rehearse the show. This is for this reason. We actually pick the topics, but we don't share the information until we do it right on the show. So great stuff. Awesome. Now, in hockey, and as you Americans call it, ice hockey, what other hockey is there?
No, we just call it hockey, Nick.
No,
we don't call it ice hockey. We call it hockey.
Hockey. When you score three goals, it's called a hat trick.
Exactly.
In one game. But the use of the term actually didn't start on the football, on the hockey rink, actually.
I have a problem with it, right?
You do. So the phrase came from cricket and was used when a bowler took three wickets from three consecutive balls.
Oh.
The club would give the bowler a hat to celebrate the achievement.
I thought you said, what was the sport?
Hockey.
No, what was the sport that they got the name from?
Cricket.
But they're bowling.
No, but it's the way that they bowl. I'm not familiar with cricket, but the way that they play the game.
What's three strikes in a bowling game?
I don't know. It's not a bowling. They call them bowlers, but not like the bowling. It's really confusing.
Okay, so it's the bowler.
It's the game of cricket.
The old cricket.
Now, the hat trick in hockey was used in some newspapers. That term was used in newspapers during the 1930s to describe a player scoring three goals in a game. Now, the Hockey Hall of Fame says the genesis of the term when it comes to hockey was, and it came from, a Toronto businessman, Sammy Taft. He promoted his business by offering a hat to any player who scored three goals in a game.
Ah, cool. So it's a hat trick.
It's a hat trick. It was a great trick. So now today, if you watch a hockey game and a player scores three goals in one game, you'll see all of the fans. And to me, this is silly because they're throwing their $20, $30, $40,
$50
hats.
Yeah, there's nothing silly about hockey.
No, but they're throwing these very expensive hats onto the ice. They don't get them back.
Oh.
They just flip them onto the ice to signify the hat trick, which is kind of neat. But
so why don't we go there and just scoop up all the hats and then put them on eBay?
That's right. Who needs hats here? Yeah. There you go.
That's a real hat trick.
Good old hat trick.
Okay, the Super Bowl, probably the largest sporting event in history, probably one of the most viewed sporting events in history. But there's something else going on, Nick. Dum-dum-dum-dum.
What's going on?
Get ready for this, folks. More than 100 children are conceived in the parking lot during tailgating at every Super Bowl. I think they call that a Super Bowl, but can you imagine this? They're having sex in the parking lot of the Super Bowl. Again, it must be like, you know, when they have sex on a plane and do the Mile High Club.
Yeah.
They must be like, come on, let's have sex during the Super Bowl. You really do miss the game. Although some of the halftime things have been pretty boring, so sex sounds really good.
Yeah. Isn't that where they came? The 2-minute warning came from?
Yeah, that's the 2-minute warning right exactly. there. That's for you, Nick.
Yes.
For me, it's 2.5. But okay. Yeah, you know, who's counting?
Who's bragging now? Now, you said tailgating, and once again, we do not rehearse the show. My next sporting event is about tailgating.
Oh, my God.
The theory of tailgating is that the Green Bay Packers coined the term tailgating in 1919, and that's when the term began to be used and associated with modern-day American football. Packers fans would park their pickup trucks around the field and sit on the bed of the tailgate. Mm-hmm. And as you're pointed out in your fact, they're probably getting it on, scoring touchdowns.
Well, it's as simple as the tailgate of a pickup truck.
As we told you, I am down here in Fort Myers as we attended the Fort Myers Film Festival, and we gave you a couple of episodes, of the interviews we did with the filmmakers, and we will continue with that today.
We are at the Fort Myers Film Festival where we are actually interviewing filmmakers, these fantastic independent filmmakers whose stories are so amazing, not just their stories, but the stories that they filmed. So we have today Caytha, that's C-A-Y-T-H-A, Caytha. Interesting.
Does she have a last name?
No. No, she's like Madonna.
Oh, I see. Oh,
okay. And Cher. Right, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, and Roy.
Yes. Caytha, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Because if you could get through Caytha, then we stop right
We're
there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations on your film.
Thank you.
And the name of your film is?
Cookie.
And what is it about?
Well, it's a short film that's a scene from an off-Broadway play. We'll put a pin on that.
Okay.
But it's about a suburban mom who's kind of depressed, discovers something Well, she's kind of into Oreos and then discovers something interesting that her husband's been watching on the computer that sort of changes how her mood is.
Right. By the way, you know when people take apart the Oreos? Yeah. People think there's a scientific method as to which side of the filling, which side of the cookie the filling will go on. It's totally random. It has nothing to do with it. Because you mentioned Oreo and use this information.
Like the stuff that comes out of Nick's mouth. Totally random.
It's a depressed mom who finds porn on her husband's computer and then it kind of turns her on too.
So wait a second. So she finds porn on his computer and gets hooked on porn.
Well, she then subscribes to an OnlyFans account.
Crazy.
Wow.
See, now that's interesting.
I'm a little confused, which doesn't take much. What does the cookie have anything to do with it?
Well, so,
or am I giving away, are you giving away too much?
Again, so this is a scene from a much larger work that I just felt like shooting, and it's a monologue. And I wanted to deal with, you know, a mother who feels sort of invisible, who's put on some weight because, you know, being a mother, there's a lot of women that through motherhood sort of put on weight and she's feeling kind of bad about herself. And she's has a cookie because people do things that feel good when they're depressed. So
she eats a cookie.
Yeah. So she just says she's gained weight and she's talking to her dog in the short.
Okay.
And, so cookie is her little, makes her feel good. And and porn makes her husband feel good.
But then, she gets hooked on this as
well. It's a little tease.
Okay, so that's the tease. Katha, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on your success and future successes. So you can reach her at Katha, C-A-Y-T-H-A, at foxmeadowfilm.com. Katha, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. We're back with Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
It's not very often Nick is right in front of me.
Sorry about that.
I know.
We did. But we had a great time. Eric Raddatz and the staff at the Fort Myers Film Festival, absolutely amazing job. Everyone had a great time. We spoke to a lot of very interesting people.
Really good people. Really great show. A lot of fun.
Nick and Roy standing under a street lamp. Fog's as thick as peanut butter. They're talking totally useless, I tell you, useless information about the movies.
She does such a great job. The voice lady, she does an amazing job. You know, it's like useless, I tell you. Useless.
Why couldn't you send her down here and you stay in Canada?
Because I don't know what she looks like. We just go by email.
She's extremely attractive.
How do you know that? You don't know
anything. I've seen pictures of her.
Yeah, you don't. That's the picture she said she looks like. But
she should be in the movies.
She is. Hey, how about Aliens, the Alien franchise?
How about Aliens?
How about Aliens? Speaking of a bad segue, while the Alien franchise swaps in with different androids, every installment, there's an interesting consistency to them.
Right.
Okay? They go in alphabetical order.
The Aliens?
Ash, Bishop, Carl, and most recently, David.
Cool.
So the Alien franchise movies swap all the different androids.
Yeah, the first one was a pain in the ash.
That's right, it was. And they are in alphabetical order.
Wow. Cool. That's a cool fact.
Exactly.
It's a quarter of a century since the movie Titanic, so this is my teaser. Mm-hmm. No film has won more Academy Awards. I believe one is tied. 11. 11 Academy Awards were won by Titanic.
Wow.
But no film has ever been nominated for 14. It was nominated in almost every major category.
Ah.
Amazing. 11 out of 14. What a night.
It was amazing.
It's amazing how the ship went down, but they won all those awards, you know?
What did James
Catastrophe, and they won awards for that.
They did. I think James Cameron, if I remember this correctly, James Cameron said when he did win the award, he goes, I had this sinking feeling I was going to win.
I don't think he said that, but go ahead.
It's hey, one at a time, please. The two instant classic pseudo-westerns of 2007, There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men, they were filmed in Marfa, Texas, at the same time, which created issues when it came to a pyrotechnical test for There Will Be Blood. It created such a huge smoke cloud that it got into the shot of No Country for Old Men.
Amazing.
So Joel and Ethan Coen had to wait for it to dissipate before they got back to shooting No Country for Old Men.
That is insane. Yeah. So they shot two movies at the same time, right, on one set.
And when they blew something up in There Will Be Blood, the smoke lingered and they had to wait because it made no sense, right, in No Country for Old Men to, right, have that in their scene.
Actually, the directors thought that the old men had farted.
That's right.
This big dust cloud.
He farted, you know, dust.
A life-size version. These are about Titanic, by the way.
Okay.
A life-size version of the ship was built on set.
Oh.
So think about, the Titanic was a huge ship. A life-size half version was built so they could film it running down the side of it, you know?
Yeah.
It was built for $20 million at the time. That's a quarter of a century ago. $20 million was a lot of money. But get ready for this one. They had to fill it with water to make it seem like it was a ship on the water, so they used 17 million gallons of water.
Wow.
17 million gallons. Now, for all of you tree-hugging environmental hippies,
yeah,
it was shot in Rosetta, Mexico, by the way, at the Fox Studios.
Okay.
They used ocean water.
Did?
Yes, so they could drain it and use 17 million gallons. And the fish were like, hey, don't use up all our water.
You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. From the Fort Myers Film Festival, I traveled all this way, 1,500 miles or whatever it was.
To the beautiful Luminary Hotel. We are set up in the media room. Uh-huh. We are meeting fantastic guests who are filmmakers. And we are learning so much about these films. And this is really an interesting, interesting bunch of interviews.
Which brings us to our next interesting guest.
Marshall Thurman. Marshall Thurman is from Long Island City, New York, and she is representing Hindsight Entertainment.
Perfect.
With a new film out called Black, White, and Grays.
And the Grays.
And the Grays.
And the Grays.
It is a feature film, which is awesome. Awesome. And so, hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Do you like what we did to the studio?
Yeah.
Makes great. Yeah. We ask everybody that. They don't know how to answer that. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
It beats our last studio, which was a parking lot. Yeah. You know?
Well, congratulations on this film.
Thank you.
What kind of reception have you gotten so far?
It's been really great. We've gotten into about 10 film festivals all throughout the U.S. And at almost all the festivals, we've either been nominated or won awards. So either audience awards or best of the festival. So that's just been amazing, something that we didn't even expect, but audiences have really, really embraced the film.
When she says that to people that don't understand the film festival circuit, the people that view these films get to vote on them. And so the audience votes are better than, to me, the jurored votes and things like that, because the jurored votes could be swayed anyway, yeah, you know, but the audience votes, to me, is where it counts.
Yeah.
And so when you're winning the audience prizes, it's so much better than
it means a lot.
It does.
Yeah, we've won it at three festivals. Our very first festival, we premiered at the Sedona International Film Festival.
Big
in
festival.
February, yes, yeah, of 2022. And yes, we won audience choice for that and got a standing ovation at one of our screening. So I mean, I was blown away because
nice.
We didn't know. Yeah. We didn't know. We love the film, but
right,
you don't
know. Right, and of course, you're right. Yeah, of course, you wanted that feedback
right
from the audience. So yeah. How long is the film?
The film is 1 hour and 39 minutes.
Yeah, because you got to go over 20 something.
What is it about?
It is about an interracial couple that is going through a divorce in 2020, dealing with COVID and Black Lives Matter.
Oh,
movement.
Wow.
So
here we
it
go.
Is a comedy. It is not a comedy. No,
no, I was just going to say, what the hell is funny about that?
But it really is a film about figuring out how to compromise, because there's so, I mean, the United States right now, a lot of the world is very divided.
Oh, we were talking about that on the way here.
Yeah, it's super
it's
divided.
Absurd.
And a lot of people say, you know, if you voted for this person or you believe
what
in that.
What were you talking about?
This
were you listening in our conversation?
This is so amazing. We literally were discussing this.
And we just
so
met
funny.
You. We're like,
and
we
it's
just,
absurd because everybody's dug into a side. And,
yeah.
And it's this separation mm-hmm. that hurts the world.
100%.
It hurts everything.
No, and our film is really about trying to find, there's a line in the movie about finding the peace in the gray. Because how can you coexist? Because it's easy to try to cut people out.
Ooh, you just gave me the greatest idea. We need to get a t-shirt that says Gray Lives Matter.
Yeah.
There you go.
There
awesome.
You go. You're
perfect.
Welcome.
We're on
perfect.
It. Fantastic.
I'm on that. I'm doing that.
What was the inspiration? I don't know. It sounds like a cliche question, so I apologize. What inspired you to come up with a storyline like this?
Yeah, so me and Casey Nelson, we co-wrote this, and it was his idea originally. We'd met in an acting class in Atlanta, and it was actually one of our mutual friends who was going through a divorce. And he was kind of forced to quarantine in his house because lawyers were saying, well, if you leave COVID, like, you know, the wife might say that you're, you know, neglecting
you abandoned,
child and all
this stuff.
So he kind of took that as inspiration and said, well, what if we make it an interracial couple? And then you add the layer of like Black Lives Matter on top of it.
Which one is black, the male or the female?
Me.
Okay.
So I'm in it, yeah.
Oh, so you're the female, is the black.
Yeah, so me and Casey co-wrote, co-directed, and co-lead. Right. Yeah, and so we decided just to hold hands together and create this film.
Films is one of the mediums that you really touch people's emotions.
Yes.
I come from the radio world, and radio is a very an emotional sort of
industry. People cry when they hear Nick.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
especially this show. Well, this has been such a treat. Thank you for joining us today,
Thank
Marshall.
You for
Marshall
having
Thurman,
me.
Black, White, and the Grays, a feature film. How could people get in touch with you? Have a website?
Yes, so we have a website. It's www.blackwhiteandthegrays.com. It's G-R-E-Y-S. Uh-huh. And we also have an Instagram, Black, White, and the Grays. G-R-E-Y-S.
Great.
Yeah, those are the two main ways, and you can stay up to date on that.
You guys are going to be hearing from Marshall Thurman.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. To access the full library of episodes, visit nickandroy.com. That's nickandroy.com. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Here's my teaser. This movie almost didn't make it to the movies. A command entered in the master machine where the animation for Toy Story 2 was stored. It deleted 90% of the work.
Oh my God.
And the Pixar team
had done it, right?
So a plan was quickly hatched to restore the data from a regular backup, which meant that only half a day of work would have been lost. But, but the backup system had failed.
Oh, my God.
So Pixar, incredibly, did not have a copy of Toy Story 2 on its servers.
Yeah, yeah. It was to infinity and beyond.
It was almost beyond. But fortunately, because you're thinking, wait a minute. Well, I did see Toy Story 2, so what
happened? I didn't, Nick. I don't know why you as an adult male would watch it. But
fortunately, the film's technical director had a copy she'd been working on from home, and much of it was restored.
Wow.
So now I'm wondering, and I couldn't find the information on this because I did search. I'm wondering if she got into trouble because maybe she took home a copy of the movie.
Well, just think
she wasn't
how
supposed
upset
to
the
do.
Actors were.
Yeah, could you imagine? But thank goodness she did smuggle a copy, but she was working it on it from home, and she saved Toy Story 2.
The old smuggler, the old bungee smuggler.
That's right.
Okay, a video store.
Yeah.
Some quarter of a century ago.
Okay.
Charged $5. Now get ready. To edit out the sex scenes out of the movie Titanic for its customers.
Really?
I have the name of the place and everything.
Yeah.
It was called Sunrise Family Video in Utah. They would edit the film for $5. Now, we're talking Utah. You can have five wives, but edit the Titanic, right? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No, but this is so crazy. Plus, it's illegal because you buy one copy and give it all five wives.
Oh my gosh.
No, but anyway, so Sunrise Family Video in Utah would charge $5. They would actually go through the film and block out the sex scene. There's only two of them. Of course, there's the one in the car.
Right.
With the, it was really not a big deal. Sex scene, just windows fogged up.
Right, and her hand went up on the glass.
Oh, you remember that, don't you, Nick?
Yeah, I do.
Nick watched that scene an awful lot.
And what was the other sex scene in the movie?
There was the scene of him drawing her, the nakedness, right. And so on and so forth.
Okay.
So, of course, that was considered...
the sex scene, dirty.
Not sex, but okay. Over the top. I wouldn't say dirty, although... It was back then. They probably didn't shower as much as we do. But.
No, they didn't. Now, as we mentioned, as we discovered during our interview with Eric Raddatz, the founder of the Fort Myers Film Festival, the sketch, the charcoal sketch, was drawn up by James Cameron, the director himself, as we found out.
Yeah, he drew the sketch of her.
Yeah, he did. What a filthy pig.
He's a filthy pig. Yeah.
But he's an award-winning one.
Hey, he's a filthy pig.
Thanks for listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. As we mentioned, go to our website, nickandroy.com. Check on the Nick and Roy store. Check out all the wonderful stuff. And you can go to our website to send us an email.
What's in the mailbag? What's in the mail?
Frank from Wichita, Kansas writes, "We are really big fans of your show. We are really excited because we ordered one of your birthday messages and can't wait to hear it. I've heard so many great things about it. I was wondering if you could help me find out where the Witness Protection Program came from and how it started. Thanks. By the way, my name really is Frank and I really am from Wichita, Kansas." Okay, well, thank you, Frank, for the mail, for email. And here is the information about witness protection. It was Gerald Schur. He created WISTEC, or commonly known as the Federal Witness Protection Program, in the mid-1960s. He was the
Which is why I'm in Florida.
Yeah, but the thing is, you never change your name.
Yeah.
He was attorney in charge of the intelligence. That wasn't you. In charge of intelligence and special services unit of the organized crime and racketeering section of the U.S. Department of Justice. So there you go, Frank. That's
cool.
The Witness Protection Program, and thank you for your email. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, a very special edition, a special episode, as we are from the Fort Myers Film Festival at the Luminary Hotel.
Isn't this fun?
This is such a great time.
A lot of fun.
And we're having so much fun talking to all these filmmakers, and we thought, what interesting topics, what interesting stories that they're telling. If we combine all of the stories, like we talk about, you know, the boxer who turned
his
life
around. We
should
do a movie about the two podcast guys that interview the filmmakers.
I'll produce it.
That's a good idea. Exactly.
You know who she is? Her name is Stephanie Ruiz. Stephanie Ruiz Films.
Yes. Hello.
And she has a film.
In the Serious and Weird block.
Really? Okay, cool. Because it's a short drama.
Wait, why? Why was it considered weird? And
I don't think it was weird. It was a combination of films that were either in a serious, talking about a serious matter, or a little bit on the weirder side.
Stephanie Ruiz is here with us at the Fort Myers Film Festival. What is the name of your movie?
Hope You Feel Better.
Talking to Roy, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Talking to a large audience, but yes.
Okay, what is the movie about? It's a cool title, first of all, because you hear that all the time. Hope You Feel Better. So we're talking about a sick person in the movie?
It's a short drama. It follows this young woman. Her name's Christina Ramos. And we're going back and forth from past to present, and she's fighting a civil court case. We lead up to the incident and the final verdict to see who is guilty.
And this is a true story?
This is based off of a true story, but with an alternate, you know.
Surprise ending that you like so much about?
Well, I didn't want it to be so straightforward. I want it to be open-ended in the sense that it could be relatable to anybody, and that's why I named it Hope You Feel Better. That's kind of my message.
Okay.
So it does have some relevancy to my life, but it was more of a what if situation. What if I did take my situation to court? Like, this was my fear. Like, what if,
right.
You know?
Sure.
So I didn't do anything about anything. So I just wrote about it, and I came up with this film.
How did you come up with the story? Is it based on a true story? Is it a personal experience or someone you know, or where did you get the story from?
It was a personal experience in a workplace environment and between a manager and myself, and I didn't really know how to go about the situation, so I just wrote. And my passion for filmmaking, I work in the TV entertainment industry. I just combined the two. I journaled and combined my filmmaking
experiences. Are we delving too deeply to what the incident was?
It was just like an abusive, like someone like...
Inappropriate behavior?
No, not inappropriate, actually.
But
so
abusive.
People, it was abusive. It was like physically abusive.
Wow.
And,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so not just verbal, which is bad enough, but
someone,
physical.
Yeah, someone laid their hands on me. And
wow.
Yeah, I didn't do anything about it. I was young. I was, like, scared. I didn't know. I didn't want to really deal with it.
Sure, because you're young, and you don't know how to handle that situation. Because, number one, who's going to believe the younger person? Right. Probably the older person.
You're making it up. You feel all these, right?
No, you feel all these things.
Literal things.
You know, now you're a little bit older, or this happened very recently?
No, this happened about, like, almost 10 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago. I don't really remember now. But yeah, I was young. And people now still do, like, when they watch it, they still have, like, they're hesitant about, like, the actual truth.
Sure, because it's hard to come forward.
Yeah. But then I also have the other side of it where people have also come up to me and said, you know, I feel exactly like this. And this describes my situation to the T, and I am so glad that you're able to share that and relate to me.
So I want to say that independent filmmaking, we've discussed it with three people now, well, four actually, but three of them were stories that when they come out, people can relate to these stories. They look at these stories, and like you just said, they'll come out and say, this was the situation, and I never knew that, and I never knew that I, you know, and I was young, and the same thing like that. And they touch on these subjects and open up these people to experience what they locked away.
Right.
Hope You Feel Better is a short film.
Yes.
By Stephanie Ruiz, of Stephanie Ruiz Films. Now, you live in New York?
Yes, I am in New York. I've been there 10 years, but I'm originally from Boston.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
You don't have an accent.
No, I was an actor. I'm still an actor, but it kept becoming a problem when I was
auditioning.
Are you
lying to us right now? Are you acting?
I never would have known.
We're the best liars.
How do you lose the Boston accent? Because that's a very distinct accent.
It was quite difficult. I had to take some classes. I took, like, voice and diction classes.
We're talking with Stephanie with the film Hope You Feel Better. And you can take a look at this at Steph, S-T-E-P-H, Ruiz, R-U-I-Z.com. And I urge you to go on her site because this is an interesting, interesting film.
Stephanie Ruiz, thank you very much for your time. Congratulations on your success and looking forward to watching more of your films.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
What's in the mailbag? What's in the mail?
Henrietta B.
Henrietta B.
writes, "You made Taylor's birthday so special." And I remember the Taylor because Taylor's an odd name to me, but
okay.
Not really, but you know. She writes, "I have never, ever in 35 years of marriage seen my husband tear up." It was that bad, Henrietta? No. She said, "It was amazing. It was wonderful. And it was worth 10 times what I paid for it."
Oh, wow.
"Thank you. And please, I'm going to put that up as a testimonial so we can begin to charge more." No. And she writes down, "You guys are truly special people. And we love your show and tell everyone about it." So Henrietta B. Henrietta B.
I know her sister, her twin sister, Henrietta A. Today on the show.
I'm going to shoot him.
It's
legal here in Florida. We all have guns.
We are in Florida after all. Today on the show, we talked about sports, and we had our final installment of the Fort Myers Film Festival. What a great time. Thank you, Eric Raddatz and staff. You made us feel really, really welcome. And the Luminary Hotel, they made us feel really, really welcome, although they had no idea we were there. And we talked about movies. It's time for the news.
And now, from around the corner and around the world, this is TUI News.
Dealing with a prosthetic leg is not as easy as people think it is, says
Michael. I have what women used to think was a prosthetic leg.
Said Michael Williams. He's a resident of St. Louis. He did, ignoring what Roy just said. He said, dealing with an airline that lost your prosthetic leg is even harder.
Oh, this is bad.
So his name was what? Michael Williams. We'll call him Neil.
And how would they lose the prosthetic? I mean, how did it get onto another flight?
Right? So you
did
can't...
Did it walk its way onto another flight?
You know what? The flight cost him an arm and a leg. So now,
I'll tell you the truth. He should have put it on earlier just to get a leg up.
He did. Now, look, if you're an amputee, we are not making fun of you. We're just making
fun of
Michael Williams from St. Louis. So apparently an airline lost his leg. You know what he should have done? He should have purchased more leg room.
Oh, he should have gotten extra leg room. He could have put it under the seat.
Over the overhead bin. I'm sorry, you have to check that leg.
Yeah, the overhead bin. Yeah.
It's an oversized leg.
It just jumps up and it goes in.
No, it's an oversized leg. We're going to have to check your leg. Which is what Roy did in high school for many years. Anyway, you can't do this to somebody that's disabled. Hey, we lost something of yours, but we're not going to pay for it, is what the airline. Now, we're not going to name the airline because it was...
Did they find his leg?
This all started in 2020. Williams was flying from Indianapolis to Charlotte on his way home to St. Louis. The special-made leg, I put it in my suitcase. I put the sticker on it that says fragile.
Oh.
I gave it to the young lady at the airline company when I was checking in. When I got to St. Louis Airport, they rolled me downstairs to the baggage claim because obviously needs a wheelchair.
Plus, it wrecked his shoe collection.
I'm sitting there waiting for my luggage to come off, and it never comes off, although his leg did come off.
Yeah, right. Williams, the leg was off already.
That's right.
The luggage wasn't there.
We'll call him Neil. Neil Williams.
No, this is wrong. It's just wrong.
Again, we're not making fun of people who are amputees.
Absolutely
but
not.
It's funny. Neil Williams said he followed all of the airline's delayed and damaged baggage protocols, verifying what was missing and submitting a claim.
Yeah, sure.
He said he eventually did receive a reimbursement check for
$600. $600 is not going to buy you a new leg.
When I spoke with the young lady that was handling the claim, she
what,
was
they
handling...
go by, they charged by the inseam?
No. So he apparently spoke to the lady who was handling the claim, so handling his leg, apparently.
Yeah, she was legging, not handing.
She said she told me that the $600 was used to cover the clothes that you lost. I said, okay, fine, great.
Did he charge by the foot?
I don't...
How'd they come up with $600?
We're not sure.
They value a leg at $600. Do they have a chart for that? Let's see here. Yeah, prosthetic leg. You know, great that it wasn't some sexual aid device. You know, let's see. Prosthetic penis.
Now, Neil Williams, when he communicated... All right, his name is not. It's Michael. But when he communicated with the mailing...
But whatever. We're just going to give him other names.
That's right. Now, the airline said, we don't have enough proof or evidence to pay for the leg, so we're not going to pay for the leg.
Oh, so they're denying to pay for the leg.
That's right. So since then, Williams has hired an attorney to negotiate on his behalf.
Yeah, Williams hopped over to court.
He was, you know what? He was hopping mad.
Yes.
Oh my God. He said... It cost him between $26,000 or $26,650 to be exact.
I was going to say, a prosthetic leg got to cost between $15,000 and $20,000.
And the way it fit was truly priceless.
Yeah.
When you find one that works, that's the one you hold on to.
I tend to want to keep my legs, yeah.
Right.
I like the ones I have.
He said he was hoping the airline company would reconsider its ruling and pay to replace the lost leg, not just the $600 for loss of clothing.
Yeah. Yeah. They gave him money for his clothes, but nothing for his leg.
Well, maybe was the leg covered or uncovered?
It was in a bag, apparently, if he was waiting for it to come off. I would hope that
he said he put the leg on in
non-bag and just put a tag on it that says me.
No.
And just like his name.
Fragile.
And then out rolls this leg onto the thing and all the kids are horrified. Mommy, somebody got this pepper.
You know. Well, what happened to the rest of the package?
Was the shoe on it? That's what I want to know. That's what I get out of this whole thing. Was there a shoe on the leg? Because I'm visual. You know, I'm very visual. Was it a dress shoe? Was it a sneaker?
We're not sure. At this point in time, it's to the point where I don't want to fly anymore. I really feel like if I fly again, I will have to fly with my wheelchair and maybe they will lose my wheelchair.
Well, he's better off flying or driving because walking is clearly out of the question now. You know what I mean? Really? And again, we're not trying to be, what's the word I'm looking for? critical or nasty towards people that have lost their limbs, because I'm not. I actually feel for these people. It's terrible.
Well, we hope that his attorney will get him back.
I hope the damn airline pays through the nose or pays an arm and a leg.
That's right.
No, really, honestly, I hope to. Can we name the airline?
No. But what country are we in?
We're in the United States.
Of America.
Ah,
thank you for
of
this.
America?
Of
like
America.
It's like an airline in America, like
that's
an
right.
American airline?
It's like an American airline company.
Ah,
thanks
right.
Thanks for listening.
So not that we're going to name the airline, wink, wink, nod, nod.
That's a great airline, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right,
it's
yeah.
Great.
You know. So now this poor guy who's an actor, they don't, during right before he goes on the show, they go, lose a leg.
It's break a leg.
Break a leg. I'm
yeah.
sorry. That's right.
Exactly. Hey, yeah. Speaking of breaking legs.
Yeah,
guy.
Speaking of breaking legs, we're back in the Bronx.
We're back in the Bronx. Forget about it.
Yeah.
That's all the
you
time.
You listen to the show, we break your legs.
That's all the time we have for this episode of Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Thank you very much for listening. We will scour the internet, as our staff will as well, to gather more totally useless information just for you.
And until then, keep listening to the show. It's in 70 countries. And so we're going to place out this little warning for everybody, because we're in 70 countries. Please look for a stray leg. We don't know what type of footwear is on it, but it is garnishing a shoe.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
Thanks for listening.
Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy is a production of nickandroy.com. Visit nickandroy.com to access the full library of episodes or wherever you get your podcasts.